When did you first become interested in New Orleans music?
Well, I think for me, it actually, I had very little exposure to New Orleans music before I moved here. Someone had given me a mixtape with a bunch of artists that were, you know, living and working in New Orleans at the time, like, and still do, Beau Soleil, John Mooney, John Cleary, even a Little Feet song, which was an Al Tucson song, and all this great music, and that was some of my first exposure. But then, once I moved here, it was hard to avoid it then.
Right.
WWOZ and all these other wonderful outlets for music here.
When did you first move to NOLA?
It was 1990, January 20th, 1990.
Remember where you played your first gig in New Orleans?
Yes, actually, I do. My first gig was with Anders Osborne, because we worked together and lived together back then. It was at Tipitina's. We were opening for Earl King, I recall.
When you started off doing solo stuff, what inspired you to doing the one-woman band concept? How'd you come up with that?
It started off, actually, because I got an invitation to go to Sweden to play a short tour. The budget did not allow for the whole band to go over there, because, you know, travel is very expensive. And so that's when I got my first looping pedal. I wanted to flesh out the sound a little bit more than me sitting with a guitar, especially since I'm not a guitar player first. I wanted to be able to use, you know, some of my other attributes, my strengths, the violin playing and being able to harmonize. It was actually out of necessity. But then, as I started performing like this, I discovered that it was a really wonderful expression, and I really felt that it came very natural to me, and it was just a very a textured way of performing that, you know, kind of brought me back to when I was a kid, and I used to make all these collages out of fabric and paper and things like that. And that's kind of how I think of the music when I'm looping. It's a very it's a very patchwork kind of thing. But you record little snippets of sound, never perfect. It's always, you know, silly, and you can hear the edges better. But if you think of it as a quilt or something, then you can kind of picture what I'm talking about.
You try to record as live as possible?
Well, when I perform live, everything I do is done live, then and there, in the moment. So I don't show up with stuff all pre-recorded, because sort of take the fun out of it, and that would take away that thing I was talking about things not being perfect, which is making it come alive. And then, you know, I've done some recording when I recorded Hummingbird Go. I did it all in my kitchen, and I played all the instruments. And at that point, I was just going through the song many times, overdubbing all the instruments. But it wasn't like a looping show, because not everything was looped. Things were played all the way through, which gave me more sense for the recording. That way.
Do you have anything you'd like to learn how to play that you haven't yet?
I think I'd like to get better at some of the things that I do. Right now, I've been working more on my guitar playing and on my drumming, because when I first picked up the drums, it was when I was recording Hummingbird Go, and I'd never played drums. And so I learned to play what I needed to play for the record, but, you know, if you dissected it, go, whoa, that drummer has bad time. I've been working on my time and just the rudiments and the basics of playing a drum kit, which was something I'd never dealt with. So now that I'm not touring so much, it's easier to deal with that kind of stuff. Sometimes it's frustrating, but it's also a lot of fun, because I'm noticing I'm just getting better and I can do more with the drums. A lot of times, you know, when I create something, I'll try to mimic a beat that I've heard or something, and then it always turns out different because I'm not technically proficient on the drums. So it kind of takes on its own character, which I like. It's nice to have the freedom with your instruments, you know, knowing how to play them.
You're willing to know how to adapt things for your sound and your style.
It has its own universe a little bit, you know, and it sounds homemade. It sounds kind of lo-fi, and it's got a lot of noise and creaks and other sounds filling. It fills a lot, which, yeah, becomes a sound.
Even if you're trying a cover song, you always approach those with your own style and slant to them, too, which is nice.
Okay. Recently did a Beth Domino tribute. We went up to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to honor Beth Domino and David Bowie. And so I had to, I was performing one of the songs I was singing with Dr. John's band, but the other one I was going to do with my loop pedals. And so I had to come up with an interesting way of performing the song. And so I took the guitar part of the song and I was singing it, and it was triplets. And then I ended up dividing it up, so I was singing it opposite times. This is very technical talk. But anyway, it ended up having a really cool effect because it was done with a voice. And I could tell when I was there at the concert that the audience was thinking, what is she up to? Where is this going? Because they had no clue about the whole looping concept. I just started singing this weird rhythm, and then as the song built up, all of a sudden we realized, oh, okay, I see. And then it all made sense as it started building. So there's many ways of approaching songs, but I had fun with that one.
What song did you do?
Raining.
Do you follow a certain process when creating songs?
No. You know, you can, like I was kind of hinting at earlier, you can really approach a song from different ways. You know, you can build it up, basically, and just, you know, start with one thing and layer another thing. But sometimes, you know, imagine 5 steps into the process. I'll start with that fifth step. Put that up front, and then I'll add things sort of in reverse order, so it doesn't make sense at first. You can't really hear where it's coming from. And then you take things away and you add them back. And it's like a little puzzle, or sort of like you create a choreography for how to perform the song and how to enter the song, loop and skills. And that arrangement is always different. Otherwise, you'd figure it out and you get bored, I think, as a listener.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I would get bored too. But it you know, depends on what the song calls for. And a lot of times that process is very long figuring that out. It takes weeks to try different versions, sort it through, and learn it enough to where it makes sense when you perform it. And then you can decide, oh, that was not so good. I'm going to start over. Or you think, well, this is cool. I'll roll with this one for a while.
When you're playing live, do you play a different set list every time you play?
No, actually, I don't. And that's because there's so much detail going into a performance of this kind.
Mm-hmm.
It's very mental and it's very physical, and everything has to, it's easier to do it if you set it in a certain order. So I tend to think of it more as a theatrical play almost, mm-hmm. or a ballet, because things do have to happen a certain cadence for it to make sense. So you create an arc of the show that way. And it's less thinking for me once I learn that
mm-hmm.
arc, and so I tend to stick with the program once I've decided on. Sometimes, you know, I can make minor changes, but at large, yeah, I do the same thing. But when I perform the song live, different things happen. There are certain parts of songs where I have more freedom, where I can let the room decide what's going to happen. Everything's figured out down to each beat of the song. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot to keep track of. You know, I have to think about, in a passage of setting up a song, I know every time I turn, every time I take an instrument off and pick up another, it has to happen within so many beats where it all sort of comes together. Otherwise, it would just drag on and on.
Right.
It takes a long time. So you kind of whittle it down to perfection like that.
What are some of your favorite shows you've played in NOLA over the years?
A magical show for me was at Le Petit in February when I recorded my live DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I've been touring my one-woman show for a couple of years, so it was very, you know, I'd made all the mistakes and the internet, and I'd sorted everything out, so the show was really at its peak. It felt really good at that time, and,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to document it before I started moving into other things. And of course, I had Mr. Alan Toussaint came and was my very special guest that evening, and we did a song that I've been playing in the set all through my touring, but I wanted to do it together with him for this recording. And so that was the first time I tried anything like that, and it came out so great, and it was a full house, just a really magical evening, and I'm so glad I have it all captured on DVD.
What are some of your favorite places to play outside of NOLA?
Well, I've had some magical shows in New York. I played Joe's Pub right after I did the Conan O'Brien show, and then I played Joe's Pub, and that was a great, great night.
Mm-hmm.
I had Sibel Crawford and Michelle came and joined me that night, which was really special. A lot of times I don't have guest artists, but every now and then I'll have them, and I really enjoy that. Of course, I've toured a lot over in Scandinavia, and this past summer, it was really cool. I was playing all these really unusual venues, like castles, and stone quarries, and all these weird, remote places out in the middle of the forest at some old mining camps, strange places like that, but people would show up. It was really
mm-hmm.
quite amazing, actually, and so that was fun. I always enjoy those tours. And of course, here in the U.S., this country is so beautiful. I was just talking to someone about this today,
mm-hmm.
that the drives are very intense, but you see a lot of beauty driving through this country,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of it, is getting there. That if you do it long enough, it can get a little annoying to have to spend those 10-12 hour cars
every
time you gotta go to a new venue, but then usually when you get there, it's really, really great, and you forget about that hard drive.